Blog Talk Radio.
Mayor Young in Detroit, this is for you, okay? Join me, if you will, on the pod. You've been such a marvelous audience. I wonder if I could impose on you just one more time. I'd like to hear everybody snap your finger, clap your hands, or something right here, you know. Those of you that were born from born here in Detroit, could I get you to say Detroit? But I want to hear you say it, okay? I'm on count to four, and then I want to hear you. One, two, three, four. Detroit! bit more, would you? Yeah. Ah, yeah. Now, those of you that are from Detroit, oh, right on, honey. You from Detroit? Well, she's not only saying it, she's showing you. Can I get everybody right here? When I throw the mic out there, I want to hear you say Detroit, okay? Oh, no, we got to do it together. One, two, three, four. Hey, yeah. Huh. Again. One, two, three, four. Would you tear the roof off the mother this time for me? Huh? One, two, three, four.
Detroit.
Hey, uh-huh, that's what I'm talking about.
When it comes to people's safety, money.
Detroit. That time I almost lost Detroit. That time, how will we ever get over? Oh, we're gonna lose somewhere. One time, we're gonna lose somewhere. Sometime, and how will we ever get over? Losing our mind. How will we ever get over?
Okay, I'm sorry. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Drive On's Connection on Saturday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight I have Miss Kim Weston with us, and Miss Kim is going to be honoring Colonel Alexander Jefferson, who was 100 years old. He would be 101 in November,
who passed away. And also she's going to give honor to Mary Young. And Ms. Kim, are you with me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming and being with me.
I have Dodo Fontoy with me.
Oh, hello, Brother Fontoy. How are you this evening?
Well, I had him there. Brother Billy? Okay, I'll try and be back in a minute if he's gone.
Okay.
But I had him phone there for a moment. But he's, it's time for him because he's been a little under the weather, but he's recuperating.
So we don't want to keep him too long so he can rest.
Well, if you want to play a song, another song or something, I can see, you know, if it feels like doing.
Okay, well, I started off with you singing Detroit, but
okay.
I can play that again because I like that, and I think that is appropriate because we almost lost Detroit, but we didn't. You had your Mary Young that
Mary Young
so that.
He helped me to put the song together, so he's a part of the project, you know?
Yes. So we were blessed with that, you know, we still have Detroit. But I'm going to play this one live, and you go ahead and you contact Brother Billy's before it gets too late.
Okay.
Mary Young in Detroit, this is for you, okay? Join me, if you will, on the pod.
Thank you.
go, but you've been such a marvelous audience. I wonder if I could impose on you just one more time. I'd like to hear everybody snap your finger, clap your hands, or something right here, you know. Those of you that were born from born here in Detroit, could I get you to say Detroit? Huh? But I want to hear you say it, okay? I'm on count to four, and then I want to hear you. One, two, three, four. Detroit! Bring it down just a little bit more, would you? Now, those of you that are from Detroit, oh, right on, honey. You from Detroit? Well, she's not only saying it, she's showing you. Can I get everybody right here? When I throw the mic out there, I want to hear you say Detroit, okay? Oh, no, we got to do it together. One, two, three, four. Hey, yeah. Huh. Again. One, two, three, four. Would you tear the roof off the mother this time for me? Huh? One, two, three, four.
Detroit.
Hey, uh-huh, that's what I'm talking about.
Under the musical direction of Mr. Miller Brisker.
Okay. Well, Ms. Kim, I wanted to discuss with you the Tuskegee Airman that just passed away, Colonel Alexander Jefferson, who died at 100.
Yes. Billy, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, Billy.
Hello, Mr. Billy.
Hi.
Hi. Well, welcome to the show. Joe, I'm so glad that you can make it with us.
Thank you.
I know you've been under
I'm
the
glad
weather, so I don't want to. Yes. Unfortunately, we're gathered together tonight to discuss one of your fellow brothers, the Tuskegee Airmen. Colonel Alexander Jefferson.
Alexander Jefferson, yeah. Well, thank you for including me.
Oh,
I met Jeff years
you
ago.
You wanted to come.
Yeah, I met Jeff years ago at the Kennedy Center when several of us were there to open the new museum in D.C. And President Obama was there.
Oh, okay.
President
Obama,
well,
that was exciting.
And, it was. It was a very unusual evening. They had a program with several people on there who you know, and Oprah Winfrey, Gail, and some of the others, and General Colin Powell came over and shook hands with each of the Tuskegee Airmen. And I laughed because I was in a wheelchair, but I stood up for him to come over to me.
Oh. See, that's wonderful. That's truly an honor. So I'm sure that that the Colonel Jefferson, I know he must have really felt honored.
Oh, that wasn't the first time. I'd met him at a couple of our conventions, but this was the first time I really got to talk to with him. And man, he was just a great gentleman. Looking out down at this room. See, I was a teenager, and they were men. And he actually had a bond. It's a bond that's really all of the Tuskegee Airmen, all over the country and all over the world, have a very close feeling for each other. Even though we may not have known each other, we knew what we were going through. So, well, thank you for having me.
No, I thank you for joining us. And, you know, I don't want to overtax you because, you know, I know that you've been under the weather, so I want you to get well. But I thank you for joining us and for calling in.
Well, I really appreciate being a part of it because I like to show my respect for guys like Jeffries, some who did things for our country. And I say our country.
Yes.
Brother Billy, we've been having a little controversy about Antoinette pulled up something that said the 332nd was known as Red Tails.
Well, all of the 99th, all of them, I was learning to fly instruments in an AT-6 that had red tails, and so just like the P-51s and the P-40s and the P-47s that they were using to fight with. So the red tails, it's just something that happened with us.
But one of the reasons I'm dealing with that is because Mary Coleman Young, she was a Tuskegee Airman. And Antoinette pulled something up earlier and said he was a red tail, and then we couldn't find it again. So when I talked to President Burton, he was saying that he was a Tuskegee Airman, but he wasn't a red tail. But then we found some thing that said the 332nd, known as red tail.
Oh, well, Jerry knows better than I.
No, he said that he wasn't, but I'm saying that's what's wrong.
Well, he's a Tuskegee Airman, and Red Tail, you know, that's, as far as I'm concerned, he's a Tuskegee Airman. That's what Coleman Young was, and that's that.
He was in the 332nd and the 447, is that what that is? The bomber? He was the bomber, do you?
No. The P-47 was a single-engine combat plane.
No, the 447.
Now that's, you're talking about the B-25s that never left the country. They flew bombers. No, they were bomber planes.
Yeah.
And they never got to fly or fight.
They never got into combat. They're the ones that had the mutiny up in Michigan.
Well, it said that he was a prisoner of war for 8 months.
That's Jefferson.
No.
I know Jeff was a prisoner of war. I didn't know that Coleman was. Jeff wrote a book about his, you know, being a prisoner of war, and that the Germans treated him better than the white soldiers that were in prison with him.
Well, that's what they were saying too about that Indiana thing.
Yeah, Indiana. Okay.
Yeah. And
what was it called, the precinct?
Because they couldn't go into the officers. They were officers, they couldn't go in.
They couldn't go on in the white officers club. And they allowed them, they named another club for them as not as officers, but as trainees or something. I wasn't there. I can only tell you what I've read and the guys that I met for. Now, but Boots Battle, who I got to know, we got to be very close. Boots was among, in fact, he was one of the first to get thrown out of the club. Boots is dead now, but we had a lot of conversations together, and he talked about how the officers who were pilots, bombardiers, navigators, all officers, and they just felt that they had the right to be to go in any officer's club, and they did, very frankly. Even the Army agreed to that, but this one person who was in charge up there, not only did they have that problem, but, you know, there's some other things, and this is what I learned from Jerry Burton. There were some other things, and they wouldn't even do the laundry for the black soldiers, officers, in the city, wherever base was, things like, not little things, but things like that they had to endure. The people in that, the white folks in that, they wouldn't even do the laundry.
Terrible. What I was going to say was, especially after they went over and they were protecting them, white soldiers, that, and then for them to have to come back and face, the same old racism here that they faced before they left. And nothing had changed for them, but they were fighting for this country.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this is my experience. Every year, they have a parade in Washington, D.C., it's a military. It's May the 31st. Anyway, this year, I was involved with it because I'm one of the guys here, and I'm sitting on the wall of one of the museums on the mall, and I'm sitting there waiting for my group to move out, and this man came over to me and says, "There's a man over here wants to talk to a Tuskegee Airman." I said, I went over. And this older gentleman and myself, in tears, "Man," he said, "I want to thank you, because if it wasn't for you, I'd be home." He was talking to me now. "If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here." And I explained to him, I said, "Look, I'm not one of those that," I said, The guys that did that for you came home and taught me how to fly. So I never met. Well, he said, "I thank you anyway." But that's the kind of thing that I experienced. Yeah. Not having, I never left Alabama, and for that matter, during the war. But that was the kind of thing that occurred to these same guys who, when they brought them back to the United States in their boat, in those boats, and they got off the boats in Manhattan, at the bottom of the ramps, there was a soldier saying, "Negroes this way, whites that way."
Right? Oh, wow.
Colors, and Jeff was, that was one of Jeff's stories. That's what he came back to. It hurt, but we are better than that president we just had.
I agree. I agree.
He's done everything he can to get what he needs from the United States, and he was a millionaire at 3 years old. That's ridiculous. And they got these people, it bothers me. Even these poor whites think he's great. Well, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Please excuse
no,
me.
No, you're all right. All right.
I hope I express what all decent people think of that guy that was our president for 4 years.
But you know, that's why I asked you to come, though, so that we can hear how you feel. Okay?
Yeah.
We need to know. We need to know. Because God gave it to you first.
Yeah.
We need to know.
Well,
but he gave to you all. And he gave you all something special. It's beyond special.
Well, I think one of the best, as I said, I told you, one of the best things that I ever saw about the Tuskegee Airmen was one that Jerry Burton put together for it was in Las Vegas. Yeah, it was in Las Vegas. Our convention in Las Vegas, and he told me, well, they can get it. You can get it on your computers. Now, I'm computer dumb. So I don't have the slightest idea, but if you look up Tuskegee Airmen and look for an information kit that was put together by Jerry Burton, you will get all the information. You will be able to answer these questions that you're asking me.
Oh, okay.
But Jerry did a fantastic job. At the time, he was our communications officer. He's now president of the national organization.
I invited him.
I hope he comes. You'll find out. He knows what he's talking about. I've been on several things with him. We went when Johnson was secretary of the EPA or ESA. I forget what it is. But Johnson, he had us there. And like I said, I have all faith in. You see, I'm one of those people who was fortunate enough to be involved, but also fortunate enough not to have to kill anybody or have anybody try to kill me. But I was
that's
taught.
A good thing.
Yeah, I was taught by those
they
people didn't. That went over there and showed what people could do if just given the opportunity.
Yeah, they came back and mentored you, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that was a good thing. I'm glad that you didn't have to go over. And you didn't have to serve in the Vietnam War as well, right? You didn't serve in the Vietnam War.
In the Vietnam War, I was in school then.
Oh, okay.
And then in the Army, I was in school, and I was in school because I met my wife at Howard University, and I asked her to marry me. She said no.
She said no.
So I went to work and went to school. And like today, I'm reading the old bit, and one of my classmates from 1960 passed, and he was one of those, he was magna cum laude in our class.
Good.
Those
that's
are the kind of people God has put me in places where I could see what he could do. You know, what he can do with people, not what I did, it's what he did with people.
Yeah.
That includes me.
Yes, and that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And we're so glad that you're with us.
Well, I'm happy to be here with you too, even though COVID-19 has got me puzzling. I don't understand. I don't understand it. I have all the inoculations, and yet I test positive 3 times already. So I don't understand that.
But the one thing about it is,
I'm going to let your brother explain that to you. I'm sorry, Ms. Kim.
I said no weapon formed against him shall prosper, because he ain't feeling like he got it.
Yeah, but Brother Ray can explain all of that to you.
Is his brother on the phone?
No, he's not here yet.
Okay.
If he is, he's incognito. But Brother Ray explained it to you, Mr. Billy. He'll tell you. He knows.
Thank you. I've only been to Detroit once, and I flew into Detroit with my brother to pick up a car, and then we drove. So all I know is that I had some people who I was in the service, like Bill Patrick from Detroit and Don Simmons from Detroit. So, but, Don, I don't know about Bill, but Don, I know his past. His wife was on TV not too long ago, and I cried because when she talked about him, she talked with such love for that guy. And Don was a big man. He, when I say big in size, and we became close friends. In fact, at our convention in 2011. He and I were riding around in carts because we couldn't walk. And they were teasing us or kidding us about us flying formation on the ground.
Listen, I wanted to ask about General Patton. Is that who? I wanted to get the book, but I wasn't able to get Colonel Jefferson's book. Colonel Patton rescued him. Did you hear anything about that?
No, the only thing I knew about Patton was one of my friends, I guess he was a relative because he's my relative of my wife, was in the tank during the war, and Patton congratulated his group for what they did over there. You know, and it was just like the Tuskegee Airmen. They were segregated, but they apparently did a job that Patton thought was great. And that's the only story I know about him. But, he had nothing to do with the Tuskegee Airmen.
No, that was the only thing that I heard, that when he went over there, that Colonel Jefferson was one of the first people he rescued from the POW camp.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Billy, I had read earlier when it came to when I was looking up about.
Excuse me a minute. I am not Mr. Billy. I'm Billy.
Yes, sir. But I can't call you Billy. I can't call you Billy.
I give you permission to call me Billy, please.
Well, you know what, see? You know what I feel that I'm afraid that it happened? I'm afraid that it happened. Is my grandmother or my mom or my dad to come and pop me upside the head from the grave?
Brother Billy.
Okay.
Yes, Brother Billy. Brother Billy.
Okay.
Okay, now I had read earlier that anyone that they considered that was planes or anything during that time, regardless if they were white, black, or woman, or any nationality, they considered them Tuskegee Airmen. I feel that,
oh,
man, they won't even allow us to have that. you know, because now they're going to change history to involve everyone, where, you know, I was always known that it was, you know, this was the Black Flyer group. This was the black, you know, the black people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, well, the black men.
Right. Well, then the Tuskegee Airmen came from Tuskegee, where we trained.
Yeah.
When I say we, every pilot in the United States Army at that time, even the Army pilots who did not, they went on to do other things flying, came through Tuskegee if they were black, because they didn't train blacks in anything with the whites. One of the things,
mm-hmm.
that every Tuskegee Airman went through Tuskegee.
Yeah.
They did have, they went to navigating school and others when they left there, but even then, they had been at Tuskegee, and that's where they went to become navigators and bombardiers. In my class, some of them, because they never went overseas, some of them came back and were in my class. Captain Fountain, I remember him because he stood next to me when we were in formation. As I was Francois, he was something. And
mm-hmm.
Captain Fountain was a navigator that came back and learned to fly.
Yeah.
But he came back to Tuskegee. We even had in one of my class a young man who was at the military academy in New York, and he came down to learn to fly, and went back after he learned to fly, went back up to the Army, to West Point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. He went to West Point. Okay.
Yeah, he was at West Point, and he was in the room, two rooms from me, at Sage Hall at Tuskegee Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And for the life of me, I cannot find his name or anything. And I was talking to one of my classmates, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I remember him, but because we all looked like we were all trying to take orders from him."
Yeah.
because he was you know, West Point.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything with us except fly.
You say spy?
Fly.
Fly.
Oh, fly.
You know, he wasn't in any of the classes with us. I don't remember him being in any of the classes. They just taught him how to fly.
Oh.
Was he black or white?
Oh, he was black. You know he was black. It was at Tuskegee.
Well, see, that's why I'm asking you that, because I didn't see where Antoinette got that the white people. I know you said that you had white instructors
We had white instructors.
Yeah, but they weren't considered Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes, they are.
Okay, well then that's what she's talking about then.
Yeah, those who were.
Yeah, they said that they were all counted as. You know, any of them from that group, they were, you know, that was there during that time, that they were all considered Tuskegee Airmen.
Tuskegee Airmen. Now, I had one of them who was from West Virginia, and somehow he got to like me, because before I went into training, one of my jobs was to assign airplanes to instructors and to students. And Captain Roberts, was his name, he was Roberts, out of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Furnshaw, he talked with his accent. And I'll never forget him, because the day I was going on what they call a cross-country trip, I was inspecting my airplane and getting ready to get in the Captain Robinson, and that's a fine show. I understand you going on cross country. Can I ride with you? Well, now, what can I say to a captain first and white second in Alabama, you know?
Yeah.
So he got in the back seat, and he flew with me. And on cross, what they call cross countries, we flew from Tuskegee. Mine was from Tuskegee to Anniston, Alabama, to Columbus, Georgia, back to Tuskegee. Well, they give you a time of arrival that you're supposed to, you know, finish that leg on the thing. And after I'd done my procedures and took off running up, going to Anniston, when I was supposed to be at Anniston, I looked at my watch. I said, Captain Roberts, I'm supposed to be at Anniston, but I don't see it. He said, I got it. He turned the plane over. I'm sitting right on it. And turned the plane back over. Said, you got it. So he rode with me, but he was one of the instructors. That and most of the instructors, I can't say all, but most of the instructors were competent, and they tried their best to make us know what we were supposed to know. Not all, but most. I can't put a name on any one of them, but I can name those that I, like Lieutenant Shane. I flew to Washington with him because he asked. He said, "I understand you from Washington." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm going there. Get your stuff." And I was in Washington in a few hours.
Oh well, that was good.
There were in-white instructors, and Colonel Parrish, who was the commanding officer, they wouldn't even make him a general until he died because of how much he worked with the Tuskegee Airmen and made it possible for him. Lee Archer, who was closest to an ex, tells a story about how he used to fly Colonel Parrish to Washington just to fight for us. And yes, there were white instructors, and I was fortunate enough to get only black instructors for me to teach me the difference.
Yeah.
But there were white instructors, and some of them were very complimentary, I put it that way, to the guys, because they made sure they knew what they had to do. And that's how all of them, most of them in the first groups, when they came back to Tuskegee Army Airfield from Moton Field at the Institute, they came back to white instructors. At Moton Field, they were all black instructors. There was one white major who was there because it was Army, Major Magoon. But all the instructors at Tuskegee Institute were black, and they were civilians. They weren't Army. They were civilians, all of them were civilians. Like Chief Anderson, who took Mrs. Roosevelt to prove that we could fly.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to play a song, and I'm going to let you and Miss Kim go and get a drink of water or some tea, and we'll be...
You sure it's going to be water? I've taken my medicine. I've taken my medicine with the ginger ale and lemon. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, I'm going to play something so y'all can drink some more.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers.
I wish I could live a fantasy world where everything just makes believe. Where nothing is wrong, in the words of my song, your love all that I ever need. When I turn to the time that my heart wasn't mine, baby, I'm lost, lost, lost in my own reality. But all you got to do is, baby, hold, hold on to me. When I'm not that free, your love is all that I need. Whoa, whoa, American dream, born in the hills, every day. Talking about my beautiful American. I wish I could fly like an arrow through time to the arms that my destiny holds. And my father comes home, I love will never, 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 never grow. But when I turn to the time that my heart wasn't mine, baby, I'm lost, lost, lost in my own reality. But all you got to do for me, baby, is just hold, hold on to me. Can't you see I'm not that free? Your love, your love is all that I ever need.
With this faith, I will go out of the tunnel of hope through the mountain of despair. With this faith, I will go out with you and transform dark yesterday into bright tomorrow. With this faith, we will be able to achieve this new day.
I want everybody to look at the voice of the hymn and sing a song.
Okay, that was the American Dream by Bobby Womack. Y'all with me?
Yes, okay. Yes. I act with Bobby Womack.
Yeah.
But I had the mute on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Still
well,
with Bill? Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, go.
Whoops. Got my fingers in the wrong place.
Okay. Yeah, so now the colonel hasn't been laid to rest yet. Colonel Jefferson, he's... Were you able to attend? You didn't go to his service, did you?
He's in D.C.
Yeah.
I'm in the District of Columbia.
Yes,
I met him here, like I said, when they had the program with Oprah and all the other people who were not in the military, but Colin Powell was the host. And I can't remember his name, doggone, the host of the program. And when, you know, one of the things that I tell these stories because they made an impression on me. When they introduced us, the people in the audience started to cry. That was a thrill for me, particularly I hadn't been overseas or anything, but that's how they greeted us, crying.
And they need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They need to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You
all need it done, and we need to do it.
Right. You can probably get it on your computer, that program.
Mm-hmm.
I think they show them when they introduce us, they cry. They were crying, and I never forgot that.
I spoke to some of the fans over in Europe, and I told them, you know, that the whole world can be with us, especially
the whole world, what you did was
for the whole world, you know?
Yes.
Well, like they said, the Germans who were they were prisoners, treated them better than the white guys that were with them.
Yeah. And which is truly a shame because y'all were there to save their lives and to protect them, and
mm-hmm.
they couldn't appreciate it.
Coleman was in Indiana.
Yeah, but I'm saying the other ones, they were there to protect them, you know, with the bombers, and they didn't have any respect for the ones that were there to help them, and they treated them like crap.
Yeah, like I told you, the one person, the gentleman that I met down on the mall, he was crying, saying thank you to me. Because I was a Tuskegee Airman, and he said, "Wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here." And that's what he meant.
Yeah.
Wasn't for those the 332nd and all of the other groups that they named.
You know what he said. What I read where the bombers gave the Red Tails the name Angels.
Yeah. They even the Germans called them special name, General Davis named his airplane He named his airplane by request. Yeah.
Cause nobody did for them what the Tuskegee did.
Cause you see, General Davis, he said your job is to escort them. You're there to protect them, not to go out and shoot them down. You're there to protect them, and that's the reason he named it by request, because after a while, they didn't even know that they were black. Probably they land one day, and they landed at the airfield, where the Tuskegee Airmen were. And they said, "Where are the pilots?" And they were talking to him.
You looking at him.
Uh-huh. And that's in the movie. That's in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, which movie are you talking about? Red Tails and Double
Red
Victory.
Tails. Mm-hmm. Double Victory was about the victory at home.
Okay.
That was not about, you know, that talked about that stuff that went on up there in Indiana and how they moved them all then.
I'm glad you didn't have to go through that then. And it's unfortunate because we're still going through that today.
Today.
You know, it's just something. Yes.
Today.
Yes. It seems like some things just don't change.
I'm looking at a calendar that says the combat record for four squadrons of the 332nd Fighter Group. And my instructor's name is not here, and he shot down three German planes, two on consecutive days. And I don't see his name in here. I don't understand that.
Well, they weren't going to keep a record.
He shot down three planes in two consecutive days.
Two on consecutive days. Like,
wow.
He shot one down today and one tomorrow.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Leonard Jackson is his name. Look at that. And I don't see him on here. I see Melvin Jackson, but Melvin only got one.
Did you know Archer?
Archer?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I was interviewed with him in Philadelphia, and that's where he told me the story. See, he and Wendell Pruitt were the dynamic duo, and Wendell Pruitt was, and I don't understand, in all of the records and stuff, they talk about the other fellow, but Wendell Pruitt,
Archer was his sailman.
He sunk a destroyer with another Tuskegee Airman. They don't mention him. They don't.
Yeah, he sunk a destroyer.
Yeah, he and what is the guy's name? Peterson? No.
I didn't hear nothing about that.
They sank a destroyer with their guns, not a bomb with bombs. They sank it with their guns. And Wendell was killed in a plane accident at Tuskegee while I was there. One of his nieces is a member of our chapter, Crystal Pruitt.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Got to know her very well. But I also, now, don't laugh.
Okay.
I also was, Wendell came back and I played on the basketball team with him and we won the post championship. And I've got a certificate to prove that.
All right, now that's good.
He's quite a basketball player too. He was left-handed. And the big joke Lee Archer tells, because he was left-handed, they were coming back from one of the combat missions. And Wendell, Lee Archer was Wendell's wingman. He made sure nobody got behind Wendell. And they came back and they buzzed the field where they land to celebrate. They did slow rolls. Now, Wendell, as I told you, was left-handed, so his slow roll went one way, and Lee Archer went the other way. And Lee Archer always told the story. He said, I was down under him and 3 inches off the ground when I did mine. So he said, I'm the luckiest man in the world. But General Davis was going to court-martial. Because they were celebrating.
Really?
Yeah, he was going to court-martial. Uh-huh. But Robert said, man, you can't court. They're our best pilots. So they didn't.
marshal. But he was a stickler for, you know, doing what he told him to do.
I see what he told them, that if they left the bombers, don't come back later.
Don't come back. Don't come back. If you leave the bombers, don't come back. And I've had the privilege, like I said, to meet and talk with these guys. Brown, who was one of the Tuskegee Airmen that shot down the German jet.
That's Brown's husband, right?
Yeah. He was the president of university in New York City.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, that's good.
Now, did Brother Billy, did you have the opportunity to meet with Mayor Young?
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't know him. But in the process of, you know, moving around Tuskegee, the Air Force Base, I met him. I knew of him. Because, like I said, one of my classmates was from Detroit. And it's Don Simmons. So, no, I didn't know him personally.
Yes. Personally knew Mayor Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I work with the mayor. And that song, Detroit, Mayor Young gave me the money out of his pocket to go and do the demo for the song. But
well, I'm surprised you never met Patrick, Bill Patrick.
Yeah, I was just thinking again that he must have been a congressman when...
No, he wasn't a congressman then. He was the first black
councilman
for the district, for Detroit.
Okay. Well, that was before I knew anything about politics. So,
And then, like I said, he also was a White House fellow, which meant, and that was before he became a councilman.
Look
him up in your computer. I think I remember when I had a computer. See, my computer is used to play solitaire and stuff like that. I don't know what else.
Yeah, that's okay, Brother Billy. You're good. You got it all in your head. So that's the best place to have it. Is in your head, and then you're sharing it. You're sharing your wisdom with us now, so we'll have it.
Yeah.
We have it that is going to be on these computers that'll always be there. But I thank you for sharing your wisdom with us.
Well, I'm just glad.
And
God,
your experience,
the opportunity to talk about my experience with these men when I was a boy. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't do any of those things that men do. And God bless you.
But you scared your baby brother.
Right.
And General McGee was an interviewer, right?
No, I didn't meet General McGee until one night out in Prince George's County. I was there to speak as a key airman. And this man was sitting at the other end of the platform in a blue uniform and stuff. He was a colonel. And it turned out to be Colonel McGee. And we've been buddies since that night. He and his daughter, in fact, called me yesterday. Marilyn, yesterday, was it? Yeah, day before yesterday, Marilyn signed the commitment that the fourth Thursday of every March from now on will be Tuskegee Airmen Commemorative Day. And that's, they're joining Virginia and the District of Columbia.
And that's good. That's very good. And
we
know you have to be very happy about that.
We need all the family in their states. We got Florida, we got Illinois, we got Delaware. You know, we got Michigan, then each one of us should take it upon ourselves to get it rolling.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I definitely agree.
The Tuskegee Airmen, the East Coast chapter, has a calendar that they sell, a fundraiser, and they've got a picture of me in there. March of 2023, and the airplane I flew is on the next page, which is the AT-6. I don't know why they put the T-47 with me, because I didn't. Gwen Pearson.
You didn't fly that one?
No, that's combat training. That's the.
Gwen
Pearson is the guy who was with Wendell Pruitt. And they were flying P-47s when they sank that destroyer.
Oh. Now, Brother Billy, when I was looking up Mayor Young, I seen where he got in trouble for an incident in Indiana as well, regarding to. Yeah, so Indiana seemed to be a very prevalent place for trouble for Tuskegee Airmen.
Like I tell you, Jerry Burton put together a thing for us to base our conversations on. And the stuff he talked about, like I said, they wouldn't even do the laundry of the black soldiers in the city.
Yeah.
That's how little they thought of them. And that officer and that commander of the base there was just as bad as they were. He was the one that kept the guys out of the club.
The officer's club. He wrote a new rule that wasn't in the Army's law.
Right, the Army said it wasn't. Now, on this calendar, they show a picture of the plane that I flew, the AT-6.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Jim, didn't I give you one of my cards?
Yes, you did.
Well, that's the airplane. That's the AT-6 that's on my card.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, it has a red tail.
Yeah.
That was an instrument. The instrument planes had red tails. The other airplanes did not have that.
Well, I want one of your cards.
I'll have to send you one to Kim. I'll send it to Kim. In fact, she can give you her card, and I'll send her.
No, sir.
Okay.
Okay, Miss
I'll
Kim.
Put it in the mail tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Not if
Thank
we
you
for
very
name.
Much.
Yeah. Kim, I'm going to do a little bragging now because on the 22nd of August, We have a golf tournament, and they're going to honor me at the golf tournament.
That's wonderful.
The God be the glory.
Yeah.
You going to play?
I gave my golf clubs away because I couldn't walk. And no, I'm not going to play, but I go every year.
Okay.
I go to the tournament and meet like with General McGee, and there were several of us that would go every year and meet with the golfers. So somehow they decided they wanted to honor me this year. So
that's wonderful.
Now, at your golf course, did it have to be integrated as well? I know several golf courses around the East Coast had to be integrated.
Not in this area. All of our golf courses are
integrated. No, I mean now, but, you know, like in the 60s and 70s.
Maybe they were back then, but I don't know about
that. Yeah.
I didn't play golf
Coleman. Coleman laid them open a couple of places.
I caddied when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
At the golf, Chevy Chase golf course, which of course was white. And
yes.
The only way we got on there was to caddy. And I've never been big, so I got all the little bags, the ladies, the old people. One day I got a Dr. Fisher, and I told him what clubs to use. He gave me a $5 tip.
Oh, wow.
Can you remember? This was back in the 30s.
Yeah, so that was like $50 or more.
When I came home, my mother was so proud of me.
I bet she was.
Usually if you caddied for 18 holes, you got $1.25.
Yeah.
And he gave me I came home with $6 and some money. My mother was so proud of the little boy.
Yeah, wow. That was good thing.
All of the golf courses now are integrated in this area.
Yes, now they are.
Yeah.
Yes, I had a cousin that...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I had a cousin that, he integrated a golf course here in Delaware.
Yeah.
Which was back in the 70s, 80s.
Before that, Lee Elder lived across the street from my brother Walter. And
yeah.
I had to know him. And he played at the golf course out on Benning Road until the guy from South Africa had him playing with him, and then that's when he started playing on the PGA with left the Chitlin. What's his name? I've seen the changes. Part of it. God has blessed. I said, God has blessed me to have that experience. I remember my first job. When my family, my father had 7 children. His mother and father, and my mother's mother, we all lived in the same house. So that meant we had to have dinner every day. And my mother, a tiny lady, would do the cooking and stuff and feed that family every day. And I complained to my aunt. I complained to my aunt that I've got to write the dishes and the left. Because she said, get a job. And I got a paper route, 120 papers.
Okay.
I had to deliver every day. And I got a job at a laundry, a Jewish laundry up on 14th Street, $6 a week. And if I worked on Sunday, I got a $7. That was my contribution. Because I'm the oldest son. My sister was the oldest.
Okay.
I'm the oldest son.
So she was like me. I'm the oldest in my family or my siblings. I'm the oldest.
I'm laughing because one time I went up to Chevy Chase and I took a quarter. That was 10 cents to get on the bus, 10 cents for lunch, and a nickel, 15 cents for the. And I didn't get out that day when I said I didn't get a bag. So I had to ride one of my neighbors who was there. He came there on a bicycle, and I rode him from Chevy Chase to my front door, And then the police locked me up.
Oh,
because
no.
I passed a red light. Yeah, women. I passed a red light. And they locked me up.
That was back when you would get a ticket for jaywalking as well.
Yeah. I think I was 12 years old, something like that. Anyway, my aunt, who had money, came to the police station, and I told him, I said, my mother just got home with a child, and I was hustling, and he my aunt came, drove up to in a Lincoln Zephyr, gave the man a $20 bill to pay my $2.
Oh, wow.
and gave me hell, and you should have seen that policeman. He turned red as a beet. my aunt said, know your mother's home with her, and you out here getting locked up. He gave him a $20 bill to pay a $2 fine.
You weren't going to get in any trouble. I'll tell you, we have someone with their hand up, so I'm sure they have a question or a comment for you or Ms. Kim, so I'm going to bring the caller in, okay?
Okay.
Area code 404.
Hey, peace and blessing, family. I want to thank you for y'all services, you and Ms. Kim. And Ms. Kim, I appreciate that album that green dress you got on smoking. But my brother, I want to ask you a question. I had a question for you. I was hoping she'd ask
it.
But I got a question. I just ask it from your perspective now. It's a lot of controversy going around. Is the earth flat or round?
Is the earth black or what? The earth is
black,
round.
Is the earth, it's the earth. You say it's round, sir?
Yeah. Have you ever been in an airplane?
Yes, sir. I've been in an airplane, but I ain't never flew one. So I just want to hear your perspective, sir, because a lot of people.
I'm asking you if you've ever been in. If you look out the window,
you can
see this horizon, and the horizon is round. It's not square.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the universe, and with all this stuff about going to out in space, everything you see on television, you see most of the places out in space are round and not flat.
Okay, I just want you to confirm that, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome.
And thank you, Ms. Kim.
Look out the window and look out to the end as far as you can see, and you'll see that the earth is round.
All right, then. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it, sir. That's all I got after that. I'll mute myself. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you,
Ross. You're welcome.
Okay, well, that's a million-dollar question. That seems to be a lot of just people are discussing these days, you know, with the flat earth and everything. So I'm glad that you were here to clear that up.
Yeah, well, as I told him, when you fly, you look out to the horizon and you can see that the earth is not flat.
Yeah. Yes. So that's
hello.
I'm glad. Hello, Brother Billy, for doing that. For clearing that up.
I'm happy I could. I had no idea the day I was going to be talking to Hope about stuff with the Tuskegee Airmen, and I feel I'm privileged as I like to tell people, I'm privileged that God has allowed me to know and work with those guys who did so much for our country.
Yes. And they went on to have great careers after coming back from it. Yeah,
like
so that was a good thing as well.
General McGee, he didn't shoot down, but I think one, I'm trying to see. Like I said. Oh, boy. And, Charles E. McGee shot down one plane. But that was in World War II. He went on to fly in Vietnam and Korea. And he has more combat time than any pilot in the military. I said any. I didn't say any black. Any pilot in the military. He has more combat time.
So that's three wars he was in.
Yeah, he was in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam.
Wow.
Not only that, he came back and taught guys how to fly twin-engine airplanes. He was an instructor before the Korean War started. Yeah, those are the kind of things that God has blessed me to know folk like that. I just hope I talk about it until I can't.
Well, that's what you're doing right now, passing it on.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, it was him or Davis that had, I think it's four P's or five P's or something. Are you familiar with that? Receive.
That's McGee's. That was McGee's statements about, unfortunately, I don't memorize that. But that he talked, that was his four P's whenever he talked to young people. And be prepared, it was one of them. But he was a stickler for, getting your education and then contributing.
And they said that Colonel Davis said that he was a perfectionist.
Oh, that was,
he was direct and he didn't play,
Remember I was telling you about the, Lee Archer and Pruitt?
Yeah.
He was West Point, and, he was different from all the others. Of us, when I say us, the Tuskegee Airmen, he came out of school and he went to school at West Point. Nobody spoke to him except if he was official, in class or something like that. Nobody.
He didn't have
a roommate. They wouldn't eat with him. So, he was a stickler, and rightfully so.
Yeah, because if he can make it through that.
Right.
4 years of nobody talking to you?
Nobody talking to him. Except if, and they wouldn't let him eat with him. So, the only experience I had with him, he flew into Tuskegee in a P-39. And I had never seen a P-39 on the ground. And I got up under it, and I was looking at it. And this is before I was in training. And I saw these feet out there. Soldier, what are you doing? I came out, and he was a major then. I saluted him and ran. Saluted him. I don't know if he, but I was there. I was looking at this strange airplane. Because we didn't have P-39. And the P-39 was a tricycle landing airplane, which had a wheel on the nose. And so it rode just like a car. You could see where you were going.
And then was that Anderson that Miss Roosevelt flew with?
Yeah, that was Chief Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Chief was a civilian. And he took Mrs. Roosevelt up to prove that we could fly. And I got to know him. In fact, he gave me my first check ride. After 20 hours of flying, you give you a test. That's what a check ride is, a test they have somebody else other than your instructor take you up and see if you know what you were supposed to know at 20 hours. And he gave me my first check ride. That's my only claim to fame. he gave me my first check ride, and I passed.
Exactly. And he's the one that took me to Roosevelt.
Yeah. And he was another. Those guys were, they were very competent. They were all civilians. And I have on, I don't know, Tim, you didn't see it, but sitting on my mantle is a envelope with Chief Anderson and that the post office did for him, you know, as a commemorative of him. And one of my buddies who went to the program out of Philadelphia bought that back to me, really.
Mm-hmm. So everybody just listening, ain't nobody putting their hand up, huh?
No, if anybody has a question or a comment, if you press the number 1, I will be happy to open up your line.
And I think we can let Billy go, I think, at 11.
I should have been too much.
No, that's what we need.
No.
That's what we
need. I don't want you to get overtired, but no, you're not talking too much. Truly, I'm truly so grateful for you that, you know, that you're here with us. I just don't want to overtire you.
Well, all I have to do is when you hang up, is turn off the light and roll over. I'm in there.
Okay. Well, I have a question to ask you. I have a question to ask you. Now, with everything that is going on with Ukraine and with Russia, and back in Ukraine, and now we have Russia that's threatening us. We, you know, we put sanctions on Russia, and we're back in Ukraine. Do you think that that could lead us into World War III or, at worst, another Cold War?
In fact, I think so.
I did too. But
I have faith in Biden that that's the last thing that's going to happen. They're going to do everything they can except fighting each other. You know, that's like Joe Louis and what was that guy's name? Max Smalling. They fought each other. And, of course, the first time, Joe Louis lost, but the second time, Joe Louis knocked his butt out. But see, now
we both have nuclear weapons. I'm sorry.
Right, the nuclear weapons. It's stupid to go to war because you're going to wipe out the nation, the world.
That we both have missiles that are facing each other. So if one sets off their missile, then the other one's automatically goes off.
Goes off, right? Just depends on whether or not we have it takes to knock them out or they have what it takes to knock us out. And everybody else is in trouble because of the foolishness of that foolishness. That's my opinion. God's going
to... Yes, that's
like
mine
Raymond,
as well. I agree with you.
My brother Raymond always says, God's going to take care of it.
Yes, and that he is. I believe that.
The word says those that believe in him will be protected. And if you ask, that's what you're supposed to
do. Right. Well, that's one of my prayers, is that God is in his hands, and I hope that I'm among those that love him who will be saved.
Yes, well, you know, Brother Billy and Miss Kim, that's the whole purpose of the drum call, you know, that we do on Sundays is, you know, for God's intervention to help intervene in this wickedness that's going on in this world. And that's our hope and our prayer.
There's a gentleman, the one who sent me the, his name is Draper. He lives in the Delaware area. He's in Pennsylvania somewhere. But Draper was one of the instructors. He was Lee Archer's instructor. And I kidded.
You said Draper?
Roscoe Draper. Yeah, Draper.
Roscoe Draper.
Yeah, and he got
him. I'm related to the Drapers, but I don't know him. But I am related to Drapers in Pennsylvania.
Roscoe is his name. And Roscoe, I used to kid him. I said, man, if I had been your instructor, you'd have washed me out. He said, no, I wouldn't wash you out. But he, at 60 years old, he got his helicopter license.
Oh.
And that's how those guys, they, like I say, they were just outstanding men. And God bless me. And become friends. I mean, actually, Roscoe and I haven't talked to him recently, but we call and talk to each other. But Roscoe Draper, I'm glad I remembered his name.
Yes.
Well, you checked if you were Draper. Check to find out if you are Roscoe's relative.
Yeah, I will. I will check. I will check.
I actually met him. I didn't know him at Tuskegee. I met him
at
a convention in Philadelphia.
Okay, I would check. I would contact my family in Pennsylvania.
We were on a panel, and he's quite a guy. And like I said, I kidded him. I said, yeah, if I was your student, you would wipe me up. But he was just, they're all those guys. They were just kind people.
Yeah.
And like I told my instructor, I will bless him all my life because he put his life in my hands up there teaching me how to fly.
Brother Billy.
Yeah.
Do you remember Mary McLeod Bethune having anything to do with the Tuskegee Airmen?
No. She had something to do with me.
What's that?
She lived on the corner of where I live.
Is that so?
Yeah, at the corner of 9th and Westminster Street, Ms. McLeod lived there, and I would make sure that I got down there at a time when she would come out, little boy, would you go to the store for me? And that's what I would do, and she'd give me 5 cents. Mary McLeod Bethune, Mrs. Roosevelt's best buddy.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to know if she had something to do with that.
Mary McLeod Bethune.
Go ahead.
Bethune was the vice president of my cousin Nanny's school in D.C.
Yeah. Yeah, she.
They both became
I
on the.
She had nothing to do with the Tuskegee Airmen, but she. I'm sure Tuskegee Airmen came out of Florida A&M. There was some probably came from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, she.
Well, that school in D.C. That was a training school for girls.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. That was out on out northeast. But she lived in the house right on the corner of 9th and Westminster Street, on the south west corner, 9th and Westminster. See, Westminster Street is one block from 9th to 10th Street, and that's where she lived.
You know what I feel? Wow. I just feel this. I don't know. I'm sure that she had something to do with Miss Roosevelt knowing about the Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, probably so. Probably so. When you put it that way.
I don't have no proof, but she being Mrs. Roosevelt's best friend.
Buddy, they were buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so she and my cousin Nanny,
when
they were on the housing committee in D.C. for both presidents, for Republican and Democrat, because my cousin Nanny had said that they were both the same. It didn't matter which one it was, Republican or Democrat. Pardon me?
Tell him your cousin's full name. She'll be known.
Oh, he knows Nanny Helen Burroughs.
Yeah. Your Nanny Helen Burroughs is the street in Northeast where the school was.
Yes. Yeah, the school.
Yeah. That's her cousin.
Yeah, that was my cousin.
Oh, boy.
That was my grandfather's first cousin.
Yeah, I used to play basketball out there.
Did you?
Yeah, I'd go out there on any of those. In fact, I played with Elgin Baylor and those guys out there. That's where I played basketball with them.
Oh, wow.
And then goes, I didn't know her, but I knew how. You know, the school was out there.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to be careful when I talk about folks. Like I said, a lot of stuff went on in D.C. I was reading someplace about U Street and my Tuskegee Airmen's wives who we grew up on U Street together, and she passed this recent. Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much. I kind of twisted his arm. I twisted his arm, I think, a little bit. But he don't sound like he kicked me. Thank you, Dada Billy.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Brother Billy. I truly enjoyed you.
I'm going to turn out my light and go to bed. Lay down.
Well, thank you so much for spending the evening with us.
Huh?
I think it's tired you out enough for you to get a good sleep.
Yeah, I hope so. Maybe that's what I needed.
Yeah, that's what you needed. And you blessed us. And I want the people to let you know how you blessed us with the information that you gave us. Because that's what I'm saying we need. We need to know what it's really supposed to be like, you know.
Please.
And the only way you can know it is if you've experienced it.
Please.
See, how much you read, if you have not experienced it, you do not know.
Well,
that
please.
Is so true.
Go in your computer and get Jerry Burton's. Got all the information anybody needs for Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes.
Really. Best thing I have seen. It's better than the books that have been written and everything. And you can get it. I don't think I guess you have to pay for stuff that you get on TV or on the computer. But I'm trying to get it. I've got it right here with me somewhere. Where did I? Yeah. This must be it. Yeah. And it's called a media kit. You put this together.
The media kit, okay.
Jerry Burton, but get the media kit, and it has most of the answers you need.
Okay.
I just want to know, do it have, if the 332 call Red Tail, how come Mayor Young ain't no Red Tail?
Well, I don't know about that. He wasn't a pilot. He wasn't a pilot. He, if I remember correctly, he had something to do with making sure he had.
He was a bombardier navigator.
He was?
Yeah, that they state
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if he
was Obama deal navigator.
Yeah.
But he said he was a red pill because he was with the 332.
Well, if he was Obama deal, the Obama people never went overseas.
Right.
So, and the movie is about the going overseas.
Okay.
Well, you know, he went to Alabama in 42.
Yeah, no, the only thing I'm saying, if he didn't go overseas, he wouldn't be in the movie, The Red Tails, that's where they came up with the name.
But the 332 was overseas,
but if he was not a pilot in the 332, then he was not a red tail.
Who said he wasn't a pilot? Who said he wasn't a pilot? What did he do for... But didn't Obama give things start in the end of 44 for the black soldiers?
The Obamadeers did not go overseas as part of 332nd.
I understand that. You know what I'm saying? They didn't start when they started the Tuskegee Airmen.
Well,
the Bombardiers were after the 99th went overseas, wasn't it?
Yeah. And again, that would mean that they would not be a part of Red Tails or escorting the bombers because they didn't have the twin engine planes that they learned to fly in. Like I told you, one of my classmates, Captain Falcon, was a pilot. I mean, a navigator. He was in my class to learn how to fly an airplane. And that's the only thing I don't know, but that's the only way I can think that,
He's just saying that for 42, he went in 42. And the bomber thing for blacks didn't start until late 44. What was he doing from 42 to then?
The bombers, before they had the bomber group, they had young men who were flying twin-engine airplanes. They were AT-10s. And then later, they bought the B-25s there and taught them how to fly twin-engine planes. Two of my classmates who graduated from basic flying and became twin engine students were killed on the day that I left there in November. They were flying together, the Otis Marshall and Spencer Isbell. They were twin engine students and they crashed the day I left there. And all I'm saying is that I have to look up. I don't think Young was, if he was in the twin engine, he never got out of the United States. None of them got out of the United States as pilots, bombardiers, or anything.
But then, and President Kitt, media Kitt, do you think if Coleman, he would be listed? I could find out where to, I'm trying to get as much information as I can.
Okay, one of the books that I have, I don't have it here. It has all of the classes and how they graduated, and they talk about the twin engine pilots and the bombardiers and navigators and gunners, and they never left the United States. They left Indiana and went down to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And that's when General Davis he was the head of the whole, the fighters and the bombers. But the war had ended by then.
It said that he joined with the 47th, 7th?
Yeah. That's the bomber group, and as I said, they never. I'm trying to.
They never left.
They never got out of the United States.
Okay.
I'm trying to find.
So that's the reason why he wasn't considered a red tail.
Well, I don't
know. He said he was in the 332.
Well, if he was in the 332nd, he was in the 332nd, not as a pilot, because he wasn't a pilot.
Right, he was a bombardier.
I don't know whether he was a bombardier or not. All I'm saying is.
Yeah, and he was listed as a bombardier. He's listed as a bombardier. Bombardier.
Bombardier.
Yes. Bombardier.
Yes. Okay.
Well, that means they get overseas. None of the bombardiers or navigators or twin engine pilots got overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still some vacant time. There's almost 2 years that what was he doing? The bombardiers
All that they were doing was training.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying they weren't training the bombardiers in 42, were they?
Yes. They had bombardiers, like in my class, like I told you. The picture of my class, you can see these officers standing there. They are all either bombardier or navigators back there learning to fly airplanes. And that was in 1944. And before that, they just went. See, they were teaching them to fly twin-engine airplanes in another airplane. It was a AT-10. By the time I got there and my classmates got there, they were teaching them to fly in B-25s, and they were bomber planes. And that's how two of my classmates were killed on the day we left, and they were made.
Okay, I'm just trying to, get this.
Excuse me,
Antoinette.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, excuse me. I'm trying to ask a question about the 99th. The 99th left and joined the 332, right?
No. The 99th, the 332 became the 99th and a couple of other groups. That's what the, I'm trying to find this in this. No more.
They're working on it. That's all I know. I'm trying to get to understand it.
Yeah, please.
Okay, well, I want to tell you what I just pulled up.
Ask Gary Burton those questions because he knows his kit in that head.
What'd you say, Antoinette?
Well, I just pulled up. Yes, ma'am. Well, I just pulled up in the Encyclopedia of Detroit for Mayor Young. In 1942, Young joined the U.S. Army, where he was commissioned as a second lieutenant. He served as a bombardier and navigator in the prestigious Tuskegee Airmen Unit, but never lost his passion for demonstrating against injustice, leading a successful protest against the exclusion of blacks from Segregation Officers Club. So,
okay, could you find out if he was a flyer, a pilot?
I'm looking. Let me read to you what this says.
Okay.
August 3rd, 1944, 12 black officers led by Captain Willard B. Ransom entered the West Dining Room of the Tuskegee Army Airfield Post Exchange Restaurant, which had been reserved for white officers. When Second Lieutenant George D. Fry, Assistant Exchange Officer, asked the black officers to go to the larger cast east dining room reserved for them,
Captain Ronson showed Fry two War Department letters that noted that services at bases, recreational facilities and post exchange would not be denied any person because of race. Now, Colonel Noel Powell supported Lieutenant Fry and agreed to let the black officers be served in the West dining room, effectively integrating the restaurant without violence. Many white officers stopped eating at the facility, and the elimination rate of black cadets increased. Some white officers asked for transfers, and within 2 months, Tuskegee Army Airfield received its first black flight instructors. Colonel Parris assured the white leadership of nearby towns that integration of the base facility would not affect the areas outside the base. So that's why I don't understand how whoever is, or wherever they say that Colin Powell, I mean Colin, the mayor,
Mayor Young, yes,
was other than if he was a part of the 477, they never left the United States, either as navigators, as bombardiers, as pilots.
They say he was with both of them, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm just saying. But they never left the United States. They left Indiana and went down to Kentucky, and that's when General Davis became the commanding officer for the 477 and the 332nd. But the war had ended by then.
Yeah. So now you wouldn't know, or maybe you do, when he was held, when he was a prisoner of war, I think he was a prisoner of war, wasn't he, Miss Kim? For 8 months?
Yeah, by the United States.
Oh, okay.
Well, Young was a prisoner of war.
No, Young went to jail for Indiana.
Yeah,
was
he
one
went
of the
to jail. Yeah,
that he did in Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah, they say the pilot training at Tuskegee Army Airfield ended on June 29th, 1946, and the base closed on June 12th. The all-black 332nd Fighter Wing and the 332nd Fighter Group assigned to it, and the 99th, the 100th, and the 101st Fighter Squadrons were all inactivated on July 1st, 1949.
Yeah.
Then Coleman was there from 42 to 46 or something like that.
Well, like I said, if he was with the Tuskegee, with the 477, then he never left the United States.
But you ain't saying nothing about the 336.
Yeah,
it sounded like he was with them first.
I don't know. I can't say.
Well, that's for another show. We'll get that together for another show, another night.
And I'm going to call Jim Goodman and find out for myself.
Yes, sir.
Well, I thank the Lord. To God be the glory, because I'm going to tell you this here. The Tuskegee Airmen were sent by God to do exactly what they did. And they did it.
Yes, and we're grateful for them. And we're grateful for you. And we're grateful for you, Brother Billy, for being a part of that experience and for sharing that with us. Yes, he has.
No doubt about it.
Yes, he has.
I'm trying to.
Well, I'm so grateful for you and your brothers, both of y'all. All of y'all are just amazing, amazing men, and I'm truly grateful to know y'all. So I thank you, Miss Kim. I just love you, and I thank you for all that you do. For your voice in Motown.
I worked for you this morning, though, didn't I?
Pardon me? Yes, you did, but that's okay.
I worked that family, but she did it, and she's still standing. God bless you, my dad.
Yeah, thank you,
Miss Kim. Can I tell you all what they told me? They wanted to convince me.
Yeah.
Is it a buzzard took a monkey or a ride in the air? Well, the monkey thought that everything was on the square.
What?
The buzzard tried to throw the monkey off his back. And the monkey grabbed his neck and said,
"Hey, listen, Jack. Fly right. Straighten up and fly right."
Yeah.
Oh, that's that song. Okay, I'm gonna get it for y'all.
The buzzard said, "Tell the monkey
you're talking." I'm gonna play two songs for y'all, and we're gonna call it a night. But I thank y'all. But I'm gonna do the monkey one. Wait a minute. Say the name of that song for me, y'all.
Straighten
so
up
I can
and
pull
fly
it up.
Right.
Okay, let me get
that
one.
Well, Nat King Cole wrote that. Nat King Cole wrote that.
Yes, I remember that. Okay.
What'd you say? Billy, what'd you say?
I said the other song was Louis Jordan singing G.I. Joe.
Oh, okay. I don't have that one. I'm sorry. But I do have this one, so I'm going to do this one. And then I'm going to do after this, The Impossible Dream. And I want to thank you all for being with us.
Is that my brother singing Impossible Dream?
No, no.
Pardon me?
Is that his brother singing Impossible Dream?
No, that's Miss Kim singing Impossible Dream.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
God bless everybody. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for being with us. Okay.
Buzzard took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzard tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Come down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." The buzzard told the monkey, "You were choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free." The monkey looked the buzzard right dead in the eye and said, "Your story's so touching, but it sounds just like a lie." Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Thank you. right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Fly right.
Hey.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go. The unrightable wrong. Oh, to love pure and chaste from afar. To try when your arms are too weary. To reach the unreachable.
Drum call on Sunday at 3 p.m. where we'll be drumming, and it's 3 p.m. no matter where you are in the world, 3 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be drumming for God to intervene in this chaos that's going on here in the earth, and it's to the drum call of Lift Every Voice. And so with that, folks, I thank you for being with us, and y'all have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.